Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. And today, well, I don't know about you, but in here in the Pacific Northwest, it's storming, it's raining. It's the kind of day that you just sort of want to cozy up with a good book or listen to talk radio just because it makes you feel better when everything's dark and gray and windy. And my guest today has written a book that's absolutely perfect for just about reading any time, but especially if you're sort of overwhelmed with the fact that the sunshine's gone, unless you're living in Florida. But if you are like I am and you're in an environment that just makes you feel like, oh, I wish the sun would come out, this is a wonderful book to read. It's called Conversations from the Neighborhood Ice Cream Shop. My guest is Denny Stockdale. This is all about 8 keys to rediscover dreams maybe that you've lost in finding your life's calling. I want to welcome you, Denny, to the show.
Well, thank you, Donna. Thanks for having me on, and it's great to be talking to you across the country. And
you're in Minnesota.
I am in Minnesota. Well, sometimes we say Minnesota.
Minnesota. Okay.
Because of the snow we get, but we're not quite to that point yet.
Not quite, but I bet you it's brisk and breezy where you are, too.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
That's just the time of the year. Now, I love fall. But I don't know. It just creates a whole change when it comes in. But I think it's a wonderful time of the year. The holidays are coming up. Everybody's going to be so busy with doing everything. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And I think giving ourselves the gift of time just to sort of be quiet, take advantage of the weather that sort of keeps you inside. Don't turn on the television. Read and to think about what you read. And that's what's so, Ike said, warm and cozy about your book. Now, you are considered the ambassador of affability. You love to train and teach, and you've been very much involved with the Fred Pryor seminars. And you also are a graduate of Coach for Life. And you have been with the University of Minnesota's Purpose Project Guild. So you're a man that keeps yourself pretty busy.
What, yeah.
Yes. What gave you the idea to call this Conversations from the Neighborhood Ice Cream Shop?
Well, that's an excellent question. And I didn't really know what I was going to call the book when I first started writing it about 4.5 years ago. But as I wrote it, the setting was in an ice cream shop. And I thought, there's people having a conversation. And so I put the two together, Conversations from the Neighborhood Ice Cream Shop, and then I added the subtitle, 8 Keys to Rediscovering Lost Dreams and Finding Your Life's Calling, which is really what the book's about.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Now, I'm going to take a paragraph out of your introduction. It says, there are many things to consider when life calls. You can roll out of bed and make things happen, or you can lie back and let things happen. It's your choice. And that is so true.
That is true. And I know some days I wake up and I don't want to get out of bed, like a lot of us, Sunday mornings come along. And
yet,
by a simple shift in attitude or making different choices on how we approach the day or when we start looking for the purpose and meaning in life, then we can find that we make better choices for ourselves. And I know I lead a much happier life when I'm able to spring out of bed in the morning and say, good God, it's another day.
Mm-hmm.
Or God, it's another good day.
Or good, it's another day, God. Thank you.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
It's, the, this semantics are so interesting in how we use words to create images in our minds. And we all have those slump moments. But this book, I find you have so many nice conversations and stories, and you can just see yourself in this setting at this ice cream shop having conversations with people. Now, you broke it down. This isn't a real big book, but it's you've got your chapters, faith, dreams, aim, hope, praise, love, hope, and call. So let's just start off a little bit with the very first chapter, which is faith, which is something that I think is so significant to all of us. And there's this anonymous story, and it's been around. I know most of my listeners have heard this. It's one day God was discussing with his angels where he'd put the secret of life so that it'd be the most difficult to find. One suggested the bowels of the earth, another suggested the bottom of the sea, a third suggested the highest mountain, a fourth angel objected and said, men will eventually search out all these places. The only place is within man himself. He'll never dream of looking there. That story is timeless. It really is. And it's so true. Whoever wrote it really had an insight into people and life.
Yeah, they sure did. And it's the foundation of the whole book that the book, while it's an easy read and a quick story, can also take people much deeper. And like you mentioned, the first chapter is faith, and each chapter is built around an acronym, as I'm sure you've discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And chapter one is Find Answers in the Heart. And when we drop into what's really most important and follow what we love, what our passions are, what's in our heart, we make better choices and we have happier lives.
Now, there's the main character, Bill. He's quite a guy. And did you base him on yourself or did you base him on someone else?
Actually, Bill is a lot like me.
I had to ask that question.
Yeah, yeah. And being an acronym guy, which I am, each chapter is an acronym. The last chapter, we discover the acronym for Bill is Beginner in Life's Lessons.
Uh-huh.
And I find that every day is a new day, and I can still continue to learn many new things and act on what I've already learned as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've got, at the end of each chapter, you have got some wonderful questions that you invite people to ask themselves and to answer. And each of the chapters has a particular story that goes with it. But this one that it starts off on, the dream chapter, I thoroughly enjoyed because I know any of us can relate to this. There was a fisherman struggling for almost a week without as much as a nibble. He was about to give up and become a farmer when the fishing rod nearly jumped out of his hands. There had to be something worth reeling in on the other end of the line. After almost an hour, he hauled the strangest-looking fish into the boat. It was unlike any other fish he had ever caught. Right away, the fish starts talking. I'm a magic fish. I make dreams come true. All you have to do is turn me loose and tell me what your dreams are. The fisherman didn't believe the fish and wanted a baked fish dinner, so he cooked the fish and he ate it. Then he realized he had just killed the chance to have his long-time dream come true. This is such a poignant story. How many times do we kill the fish?
Yeah, and it's interesting because that's the story out of all the, each chapter, like you mentioned, starts with a little story. But this one, I wrote myself.
Uh-huh.
When I was on a personal retreat, and I looked at it, and I thought, I almost killed the story. And yet it made it into the book, and now I'm glad it did.
Yes. Now, tell me about Tag. Let's let my listeners know about Tag, because this is a young man that's really got some challenges. Who is Tag in real life?
Well, Tag is actually me. I'm actually all three characters or part of all three characters in the book. But Tag is a good example of Tag would be my nephew who went through college and is now trying to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
as many 20-something and as many people are. But Tag learned lessons from somebody who was older and wiser, who was his boss, and then turns around and shares that wisdom of the youth with Bill, the beginner in life lessons. So Tag does face some challenges, but he also has a lot of wisdom that he's gained throughout
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm.
And he also learned as he was going through life to make better choices based upon the lessons he was learning from the other character in the book, Randy, who owns an ice cream shop.
Aha, so the plot thickens. Now, dreams. You say, dreams are defining reality eventually achieves my success. That is a lot of words. How do you define reality so that you can be successful?
Well, there's a lot of different goal-setting techniques. One of the things that I do is to write down what my dreams are. And then I reflect on those and visualize those actually coming true. And I also will take a big dream, like writing a book, and I'll keep maybe journaling on it or talking with other people about that dream. Another thing I do is talk with other people, so I'm committed then.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll either journal or continue to talk about this until the dream really has a clear vision for me. And then I can start to really define what that is. You know, like some people want to lose weight. Well, that's a good dream. Now, if you take that farther, you can take it into specifics. I'm going to lose a pound a week over the next year. And the more you define it, the more likely you are to achieve that success.
Aim. Action increases momentum. And that is true. You can sit and think until the cows come home, and if you don't get up out of the old mental rocking chair and move the tush, nothing happens.
I agree. You got to push the tush.
Yes, you do. You have to push it. And you really, really do have to be aware it does take action. Life, you know, there's so much Hollywood stuff out there. I use Hollywood, but there's so many things that are on television today that make people think, wow, I shouldn't have to work for something. I'm entitled to XYZ. This is my right. Wait a minute. You've got to earn it. That's just, I don't know, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but to me it just seems like the rules of the game are if you're not willing to invest and take care of what you have and, you know, really be thoughtful about the action you take, you're going to end up finding yourself one day just saying, uh-oh, where did I miss the boat?
Exactly, Donna. And a lot of people get caught in, I think, a planning trap.
Oh, now that's a good comment. Go into that a bit.
Well, I talked about dreams for a moment, and you know we have to define what we want and be fairly clear on that. But then I can plan on how I'm going to produce a book and write a book and spend my lifetime planning, or I can step into the action and actually start writing and see where it goes,
mm-hmm.
see where it takes me. And so, you know, as I'm stepping out into the world in a new way, I can continue to plan, all right, these are the people I want to be of service to, and I've got a general idea of that, and I can continue to define my target market, which is one of the marketing techniques that I've been taught. Or I can actually start talking to people and seeing where things take me. So the action sometimes will help us, it actually increases the momentum of what we've got going. I'm sure when you started your radio show, I'm sure you've got a lot more listeners now than you did when you started. And the action you took back in 2002 has created a momentum
mm-hmm.
for you and also you're being of service to the people that listen to you, and I think that's just great.
Well, and it demands commitment, too. That is something, not just for what I'm doing, but for anything, like for you to put this book together. There had to be the commitment that this was something that was going to be finished. How many times do we start something and we get sidetracked? too many interruptions. And sometimes we have to say no to certain situations. We have to make a choice. There we go again. We'll make a choice. And I think of a situation that came up for me recently, and I had to make a choice. I had to say, no, I do not choose to do this. I've got to be committed to something. And lots of times in our world today, don't you find people think you're supposed to be a super person, you're supposed to do all, you're supposed to see all, but yet the people that actually get things done are the ones that will say no to a lot of the fluff stuff and stay true to what needs to be done.
Exactly, and I'm glad to hear you say no to some things, and that's a lesson I'm learning, too, as I move through life.
It's a tough one.
It is a tough one, and because I want to be out in the world, I want to be in touch with a lot of people, and yet I need to say no to some of the smaller things so I can say yes to the bigger things.
Mm-hmm. The things that are big in your mind, the things that are important.
Right.
And I think that that is so significant. Hope, hold on to peak experiences. I really like how you put that together because I think that's so important. We all have disappointments. We all have times in our life where we feel like we're going backwards. We're not even going backwards. We feel like we're treading water, for heaven's sakes, and we can't see a boat in sight anywhere to rescue us. It really gets to be frustrating. And so hope is very, very significant, and the way that you broke it down was hold on to peak experiences. And I think that's a great, great way to describe it.
Thank you. And like you mentioned, we all have some difficulties or some challenges that come up in life, and I think that's true for almost everybody, regardless of age. But when we think of life, and when I look at some of the most challenging times in my life, or the things that at the time seemed so devastating, when I got through those, they actually became peak experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And life runs in peaks and valleys. And when I take a look at some of the accomplishments I've had, if I have a bad day or maybe a bad week, I can take a look at what have I done in the past, and how did that turn out, and what were some of the things that I learned from that, and how did that affect not only me, but the people that I'm in contact with, and that people, that the people that affect my life and that I affect theirs. So, you know, the peak experiences are invaluable to hold on to. And I think when I'm having a bad day, if I can just shift my attitude even a couple of degrees, it'll help me make the rest of the day better. And I can do that by pulling out a list of peak experiences.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good idea. Now, praise. You have the most charming story right at the beginning of that chapter, and it's about an elderly man who approached the famous 19th century poet and artist Dante Rossetti. And this elderly man had some drawings and sketches he wanted the artist to look at to tell him if they were any good. And when he looked at them, he just didn't see any artistic talent. And I'm summarizing this up a little bit. And he was very gentle with the elderly man, saying, "I'm sorry, but these pictures aren't very good, and the talent just isn't there." And, of course, this elderly gentleman was disappointed. And then he wanted to look at some other drawings. And when he looked over the second batch, he got excited. He said, "These are good. This young man has a lot of talent. He should be given help and encouragement in his career as an artist. He's a great future if he'll work hard and stick with it." And the elderly man was deeply moved, and he turns to him and he said, "Who is this young man? I'd love to meet him. Is this your son?" He said, "No. It's me, 40 years ago. If only I had heard your praise then, for you see, I got discouraged and gave up too soon." You know, this chapter that this story is in relates to praise. In the word praise you broke down, people respond admirably in sincere encouragement. And that term, sincere, is a very important one. The story about Bill and Tag and Randy, these characters that you have in the ice cream shop, they're fascinating. But for you, when you chose the word praise and to build a chapter around praise, this was pretty significant to you.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I'm a Santa Claus.
A Santa Claus, huh? We've got you in the right season, just a couple of weeks early.
You do, and maybe I could come back and share some of my Christmas stories. But throughout life, I've had bosses that, I've had some bosses that really will pull me aside and tell me I'm doing a good job, and I get it that they believe that. And then I've had others that just say, well, be here at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. You've got to stay till 5. You can't leave a minute early.
Mm-hmm.
And I find I respond better with the ones that give me encouragement. There was a boss I had back in 1999, and I remember a conversation I had with him about the work I'd been doing. And he said, and I don't think I'll ever forget this, the company was going through a merger. Things were pretty tense, and some of us stayed on through that, and things didn't go exactly as I'd planned or hoped. But he pulled me aside and he said, Denny, you've given more to this company than they've ever given to you. Thank you.
Mm.
Now, when I heard that, my loyalty factor for him went way up, and I would have done almost anything he asked me to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he wasn't necessarily praising my work, but he acknowledged the efforts that I'd made.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in all kinds of times, whether it's tough economic times or good economic times, we all need encouragement.
Oh, yes.
And as a Santa Claus, a number of years ago, I was at a shopping center, and it became an assembly line after the first or second day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I shifted my attitude just a little bit to look at each child and find something I could praise them for, whether it was a cute smile, a twinkle in their eye, maybe a girl was wearing sticker earrings or something like that,
mm-hmm.
or maybe the boys had their shoes shined.
Mm-hmm.
And I could find something to sincerely encourage them about or praise them about. And when they walked away, beyond telling me what they wanted for Christmas, they were shining a little bit more. And it made my job and so much more joyful and so much easier.
I think what you've said is so significant because we never know what another person is going through. And I have done that myself, and many times I've discovered later that a person just has been really down in the dumps, they haven't felt well, or maybe they've had a tragedy in their life. I mean, there's just so many things you just don't know. But when you give that little speckle, I'll call it that, a speckle or a sparkle of magic, and you pull them for that moment into recognition that there is something special about them, it is something they carry with them, and it enables them to make the shift that you make.
Exactly. As I'm out shopping, whether it's in a grocery store or a retail market or something like that, I can smile at the cashier, and 90% of the time I'll get a smile back.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. those people, like a lot of us, may have, it's not the easiest job being a cashier,
mm-hmm.
dealing with all kinds of people. So if I can share a little bit of the sparkle, like you mentioned, with them, I think not only does their day go better, but it just lifts my spirits up as well. And I think we raise our world to a higher consciousness then.
I agree. And I think we need to do more of that because there is so much that's going on in today's world that is so overwhelming and so depressing if you allow it to get to you that way. And sometimes you just need to say, what I have control over is me in my environment right here, right now. Maybe I'm not going to be off in Washington, D.C. at a rally. Maybe I'm not going to be over in Iraq. Maybe I'm not going to be here, there, everywhere. But where I am, if I take power over myself, over my mind, over my mouth, over my attitudes, I can make a difference. And I don't have to know any more than that, but I can be that light, if you will, that is going to beam on someone else, and who knows, they may turn on their light because I've turned on mine and let it shine on them.
Exactly, exactly. And as an acronym guy, I've got an acronym for you that actually summarizes, I think, who I believe you are.
Oh, wonderful. I'd love to hear it.
Okay. A doer of naturally nurturing actions.
A doer of naturally nurturing actions. Ooh.
And that spells Donna.
Don't you just love it? I think that that is superb. What a wonderful, wonderful gift you've given me with that. Well, I know we've got a few minutes left, but I want to jump to the last chapter. It's your epilogue, and it's titled Call, Create a Living Legacy. And I thought, this is so profound. How many times are we ever encouraged to even think about leaving a legacy? How many times do we ever consider that? Most don't, because that's not something that culturally we're encouraged to even think of. But I believe that it's just an absolutely wonderful, wonderful way to look at life. How do you want to live your life so that when you do make your exit, they're going to say, wow, I'm really glad I knew that person. I'm a better person because of knowing that person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've been in a lot of seminars over the years, as a lot of people have, and one of the exercises is to write your own obituary. And my purpose with this chapter was, why wait till you write your obituary?
Mm-hmm.
And we all have a calling. We all have a purpose. And for some of us, it's to host a radio show. For some of us, it's to write a book. For some of us, it's to be a cab driver and
mm-hmm.
maybe get people safely from location to location. Whatever it is, we've got a purpose here to fulfill. And so that's the premise of the call chapter. What are we being called to do? And
mm-hmm.
who are we being called to be in this world, for our family, for our friends, for ourselves?
I think that's important. And before we close out, I want to read a few of the questions that you have at this chapter. The question is, what kind of difference can you make in someone else's life? How can you help them find their passion and reach their potential? What do you want to be remembered for? Actions, accomplishments? What would you want people to say about you? How do you want to be remembered, and who do you want to be remembered by? And then lastly, you say, write a letter to someone you remember who might not know how much you admire them. It could be someone from your past or present. You don't have to send the letter, but you can. Wow. I think all of us, that is something that could be so significant. What a wonderful gift that would be, to be able to send a note to somebody telling them how much they have meant to you and why they are so significant in your life. And if they're still living, mail that to them. Very few people would ever consider doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it can make a significant difference, not only for them, but for us, so we know what we most appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found through the years I've been on this planet that it's not necessarily the money I've made or the jobs I've held that have made the difference in my life. It's the people that have come into my life and the ones that have lifted me up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the ones that I've turned to. And, you know, one of the people that I would write a letter to, although he's passed on, would be my dad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think whoever it is, it could be a perfect stranger. It doesn't make any difference. I think just the action by doing that is phenomenal. Well, Denny, you have a marvelous book here, Conversations from the Neighborhood Ice Cream Shop, 8 Keys to Rediscovering Lost Dreams and Finding Your Gifts, Your Life's Calling. You can go to DennyStockdale.com. That's DennyStockdale.com. This little book, it's just handy to stick into a briefcase. What a wonderful exercise of options and thoughtful action this can give you or someone that you love or someone that you feel maybe needs to give that gift to themselves. This is great for the holidays. Conversations from the Neighborhood Ice Cream Shop. Denny Stockdale, thank you again for being my guest today.
Thank you, Donna. And if people do order off my website, I'll cover the cost of the shipping for them.
Oh, that's great. So go to DennyStockdale.com. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be coming back in just a moment. Have those pens and pieces of paper handy. Do you like brownies? Woohoo! Have I got recipes for you. Coming right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. The telephone number is worldwide, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you're a new listener to the Donna Sebo Show, just know that all I want from you is your first name, your initial. I love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, then I'll just give you what I perceive, and you're welcome then to ask me a question about anything that you like. Now, we've got our first caller on the line. We'll show you how it's done, and just remember, you can call me, too, at 888-815-9756. Okay, caller, welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Abigail, calling from Tempe.
Tempe, Arizona. All right. The sun's shining there, I bet.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right, Abigail, the first thing that I am being made aware of is cut yourself loose from what isn't working. And the image I'm getting is you're standing on a dock, and there seems to be some kind of turmoil, and this rope is extended out to something that's in the water. You're wanting perhaps to hang on to it and pull it in, but it's moving around and it's very turbulent, and I want to say cut the rope. Let the situation go, and things are going to quiet down, and then whatever this boat is representing is going to come floating in a very comfortable way. So then there will be the time to go and to get it and to pull it in. So again, I'm looking at this image of a almost like a dinghy. It's not a gigantic boat. It's just a little dinghy out in the water being tossed all over the place, but it'll get smashed to pieces if you try to hold on to it. So it's cut the rope, let it float. It will do its job. It will hold its own. It won't go under. And when things die down a bit, then everything will be floating in a very calm and easy situation, and then you'll be able to reach it, bring it in, and do what you want to do with it. So there is a lot going on. There is a sense of frustration and disappointment because you've not been finding certain things falling into place the way that you want. However, don't give up on what you're doing. You may need to use a little bit of a different strategy, but you also may just have to ride out certain circumstances until the environment becomes a little calmer. And that is evolving, I think, within the next 2 to 3. I don't know if it's days or weeks, but it's not years. So it's within a reasonable period of time. So just be aware. Also, I'm seeing you attending an event where there is going to be a speaker that is going to be addressing events of the paranormal. This is really going to intrigue you, but in a way, it's going to sort of spook you, and I would say don't be spooked over this. It's just the way the person is presenting the information. And one of the things you need to be aware of is that if you're finding yourself feeling uneasy, you need to ask yourself why. Is there something that you are afraid of down deep? And it's okay to be scared of something. It's not bad. It just means you need to understand yourself more and find out what buttons in you are being pushed so that you become apprehensive. Lots of times we're not aware that subliminally we have things in our own psyches that we've adopted. I think of the man I interviewed that was talking about werewolves yesterday. It was really wonderful. The book is fabulous because he went into the history of how all of this superstition developed and how it evolved. And it wasn't based on fact. It was based on fear. And so it created something that even in today's world is grossly, grossly exaggerated and for many people can be very, very unsettling and very frightening. So this is something that when we understand where something comes from, then we don't have to be apprehensive. But I'm seeing you actually enjoying most of the subject matter. But this person has a particular way of delivering information that makes you apprehensive. And then it's like all kinds of garbage from the past, maybe something you read or you were taught or, you know, you just assumed was correct that somebody dictated when you were younger, and it's still there in your mental file cabinet. So you've got some interesting experiences coming up, and I think you just need to be aware. If you become apprehensive, you have to ask yourself, what's pushing my buttons? What is it? Because when I look at it straight on, it doesn't seem to have any big significance, but yet it's really bugging me. Why? And I think then you'll be surprised at the response that you get from yourself. What's on your mind? What did you want to ask me today?
Nothing, really. I think you pretty much covered some of the stuff. There's frustration, disappointment right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much have thought I probably need to hang in there.
Well, it's, you know, Dara, I don't know of any shortcuts in life. I really don't. And many times we have to go sometimes through disappointments because we need to become aware of what really is most important to us. And if you think of all the fairy tales that have ever been written, if you really look at them, they talk about struggle and apprehension and sometimes disasters, scary things. Why? Because that's life. But the option is that there is going to be something bigger and better than you could have ever imagined. But it's keeping the hope and the mind and the attitude alive. That's why I enjoyed having my guest today, because we're living in some pretty tough times, and we're being bombarded with so much garbage that my goodness, according to this person, that person, whatever you're watching on television, geez, everything is going to be totally, totally destroyed. And that's not true. Even in the darkest of times, there's always opportunity to step up to the plate, recognize your own talents, and look at where you can put yourself and what you can do. So look at this as part of your training program. And I think you can get through this a little bit better.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You have a wonderful, wonderful week now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. If you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. You know, I told our caller, Abigail, that sometimes when things really get bad, it's part of a challenge for us, and we have to look on and what else is out there? What else can we do? You just don't sit on your thumbs, as someone once told me. You have to think, and I say you have to, you really don't have to do it. You can be like a nincompoop and sit in a corner and wail and moan and be a victim and have a big V over yourself and say, I'm victim, look at me, I'm suffering. Okay, that's fine. We all have tough times. But what about looking at different options? Let me give you an example. I received an email from Gary, and he said, if you have your own home, and when you were growing up, everybody's lawn wanted to be perfect. We always wanted to have everything perfect. And the dreaded D would come up. What is that? The dandelions. Well, for those of you that are really familiar with dandelions, and if you've ever had to dig them up like I did when I was a kid to keep the yard really looking pristine, maybe you weren't aware at the time dandelions have been a form of food for a lot of people for a lot of centuries. And there's a lot of good, but they do spread seeds all over the yard. And maybe your neighbors were very unhappy when he'd see these beautiful, they really are quite pretty, dandelions in your yard, but he knew that once they came into full flower, those little fluffy white balls, those seeds would go over into his yard, and boy, then he was going to get them. Well, they will be in your yard abundantly if you don't monitor them. So this has always been a negative in the minds of many people in the modern world. But something is coming about with the lowly dandelion. Scientists have discovered, apparently, a new procedure that is allowing them to commercially produce natural latex from dandelions. Have you heard about this? I hadn't. Who would think that that little thing in your yard could be grown and produce a natural latex? Well, guess why they've been researching this? Apparently, there is a fungus, one that they've not had to deal with before, that's attacking the natural latex plants, trees, the rubber tree plantations, with a vengeance. They're losing them. And they said this tiny plant, the dandelion, has spawned a multi-million-dollar lawn pesticide industry aimed at destroying this lowly plant. However, this lowly plant, again, may be able to provide the latex necessary for doctors' gloves when they perform surgery in hospitals and also for many, many other products. How many times do we have things that we think are worthless? And we find that they're not at all. It's how we look at things. How do we perceive them? What are the filters that we're looking through? Think of the tomato that is such a huge industry today. People thought it was a poison centuries ago. Well, what is it in your life that maybe you look at something and you say it is hideous? How can it be turned into something of value? Now, the old adage, one man's junk is another man's gold. The wise person that can see beyond what they think is there now and can see it in a bigger and more expansive way, well, they're going to have blessings abounding because they're going to realize there's opportunity there. For every adversity, there's an opportunity to make it into something that's going to turn into gold for you. So look at those adversities, even though you may be grumbling and moaning and not too happy about it at the time, and realize that it's going to serve you and serve you well at some point in time. You just have to figure out how you're going to leverage it. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Hey, I promised you a brownie recipe. Oh, boy, have I got one for you by Lisa Tanner. We'll come back in just a moment, so have that pad of paper and pen handy. We're going to go for it. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. I don't know about you, but I really like brownies. They are so good. And if you're like me, when you're really in a rush and wanting to take something to a party, well, typically you'll go for a mix of some kind because you really don't want to spend a whole lot of time, and the mixes they've got today are just absolutely scrumptious. And I know Ghirardelli puts out a great one, and there's just so many wonderful, wonderful packaged items. Well, I have had in my cookbook collection, yes, I have a cookbook collection, this wonderful, wonderful book by Lisa Tanner. And this woman is just absolutely amazing with brownie recipes. And something just compelled me to pull it out and go through it. And I said, oh, my goodness, I'd forgotten about these. These recipes are so good. So I had to choose for today's show. Am I going to do a fudgy raspberry brownie? How does that sound to you? Or how about a chocolate cherry cordial brownie? Well, I've got that. I've got the yogurt almond. I mean, all of these are absolutely magnificently wonderful, wonderful recipes. So I think what I'm going to do is share with you the fudgy raspberry brownies. Chocolate raspberry flavor just goes together absolutely magnificently. But also, you can make these with a strawberry flavor if you like. But I think this is the type of thing that you want to make it, and then you want to do the taste testing, but don't let anybody else around you know that you're taste testing, because if they get a taste of this test, you won't have anything left to taste. I mean, it's just going to go really fast. This is made with dark chocolate. So let me give you the ingredients. This is just wonderful. You need to have 6 ounces of unsweetened chocolate. And, of course, the dark chocolate is the best. But if you're a milk chocolate person, then make it milk chocolate. But you need 6 ounces of unsweetened chocolate. And you're going to need a cup of butter. Now, this needs to all be at room temperature, by the way. A cup of butter. And then you need 2 cups of sugar, 4 eggs, 2 teaspoons of vanilla. 2 teaspoons of vanilla, the real vanilla, not the make-believe vanilla, but the real vanilla. You need 1.5 cups of flour, 1/2 teaspoon each of baking powder and salt, 1/2 teaspoon each of baking powder and salt, and you need 1 cup of sliced almonds, and if you don't like almonds, use walnuts. Or whatever your favorite nut is, if you like pecans. But almonds are in her recipe. And then 1 cup of chocolate chips. And then also you need 3/4 cup of raspberry preserves, the best you can possibly get. So this is how easy it is. Her recipes are just absolutely marvelous, and the flavors are incredible. So you preheat your oven to 350 degrees, and you're going to need a 13x9x2-inch pan. So this is going to make up a nice amount of brownies. These also freeze very well, by the way. Now, in a medium-sized saucepan over low heat, you want to melt together the unsweetened chocolate and butter. I think using a double boiler is a good idea, but she recommends just using a saucepan and making sure that you're paying attention to it. Don't worry about the kids, the dogs, the cats, the phone. Just make sure that you're paying attention to it because you don't want it to burn. Once it's melted, and you've got to stir it continuously, once it's melted, you want to remove it from the heat, and with a wire whisk, you want to beat in the sugar, the eggs, and the vanilla. Once you do that, then you want to put the mixture into a large bowl, and you want to let it cool slightly. And then in this big bowl, you want to gradually stir in, not beat, but stir in your flour, your baking powder, and salt just until it's combined. So you don't want to use a mixer with this. You're going to stir it by hand. Then you're going to fold in your almonds and chocolate chips, and then you spread about 3/4 of the batter into your prepared pan, which you've sprayed with nonstick cooking spray. And very carefully then, you take your raspberry preserves and put it on the top of your batter. Now, I don't know about you, but I always end up using more preserves. So if you have a jar of raspberry preserves, or you use strawberry too, but if you have a jar of the raspberry, then you want to make sure if you need extra, you've got that extra batch there. And then you take the remaining batter and you drizzle it evenly over the preserves that you put on the top. And then you want to take and very gently swirl that mixture with a spoon. Better yet, you could just take the stem of the spoon and just make a pattern in it if you want a zigzag pattern, and it'll just work out nicely. Now, you're going to bake this for about 20 to 25 minutes in your preheated 350-degree oven. Now, depending on your oven, and you do need to test with a toothpick to make sure that when you put it in, you lift it out, and I used to like to do it right in the very center, that it's not got something sticking to it, because depending on your oven, it may take a little bit more time. And something I have found with my oven that I have to do, and I don't always remember to do it, and that is halfway through the baking time, reach in, turn the pan around, because my oven isn't one of these that bakes everything perfectly. So I've just learned to do that, and then that way I find that things come out a lot better when I bake them. Now you want to, before you go, you know, you have to let it cool totally after you've baked it. It'll make about 32 brownies. So again, you can use strawberry instead of raspberry, whatever your preference may be. But this is such a moist, delicious brownie, and with a cup of hot coffee, hot cocoa, or a good cup of tea, you're going to find that it's not going to stay around your house very long. What a wonderful gift to give to someone. If you're going to be going to a potluck Thanksgiving dinner, why not try this? Ooh, you'll be the hit of the party. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're just about out of time. Well, tomorrow we are going to be talking about Maggie. This is a wonderful dog. Dawn Cairns is going to be my guest, and she's going to share her story about this wonderful, wonderful friend that she had for so many years and the gifts that this dog gave her. So if you're a dog lover as I am, you're going to enjoy this as much as I did. Donna Sebo here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Keep those dreams. Don't ever let anybody tell you you don't have a right to them, because you do. They're yours. They're your creations. Work with them and make them come true. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com, Station 1. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.